CJMQ, and we're talking today with Anthony Hutchcroft, and he is a Canadian composer. So welcome, Anthony. And he has recently released a piece of music in Flanders Field and from John McCrae's Immortal War Memorial poem. Is that correct, Anthony?
Yes, it is, Lorraine.
Okay, and would you like to tell us a little bit about the making of this music?
Well, it was about a year ago, and it was October of last year. I came across an online petition by Toronto's Dominion Institute, and they were hoping to raise about 50,000 names on a petition to submit to the government and have a state funeral for the last World War I vet. And at that time, we had three surviving veterans from the First World War. Since then, two have passed on, and John Babcock is our last World War I vet. He just turned 107 in July.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed a petition, and I went and dug a little bit deeper and found a poll that they had done that had said that over 50% of 18 to 24-year-old Canadians were not even familiar with the poem or John McCrae, and I thought, well, that's crazy. And I wondered why no one had ever done, at that time I thought no one had ever done a musical version of the poem. When I looked into it, there are other versions out there. Most of them are amateur or choral pieces. And I thought, well, if someone were to make it a more accessible piece of music for today's younger audience, that would be a great way for people to remember the poem and remember John McCrae.
That's amazing.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's amazing. 50%, I've never heard of the poem. 50%
of young 24-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was back in October, and I didn't really set out to do it myself. It's just one of those things that sort of happened, I wrote it on the November 12th, the day after Remembrance Day last year, and I believe it or not, I was in my car. I had about a 20-minute trip, and by the time I finished my trip, it was done. I had the whole song finished.
That's amazing. Okay, a 20-minute trip, and you finished the song.
It's just one of those things, and it was an amazing thing. And the whole trip has been very amazing, and we just came back from the videographer today. We finished the video, so we'll have that posted on YouTube and on the website within the next day or so.
Okay, that's great. So that will be on YouTube?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I have a website. It's called FlandersFieldsMusic.com. You can hear the song on the website, but I'll have the video posted there as well in the next day or so.
Okay, great. And I was reading that you went out about 7 months after Remembrance Day, and you had a flower bed in front of your house, and that was just filled with self-seeded poppies, whereas the year before it just had a few rose bushes in it.
Yes, we had just bought the house the year before that, and we bought it in July, and that summer we had the whole bed was just nothing but roses. And for some reason, this past July, the whole bed itself was all poppies. They were actually drowning out the roses. We were worried about the roses dying because there were so many. And I actually have the image on the CD jacket. It's also on the website as well, with me sitting in front of the poppies. And it was an amazing thing. Couldn't believe it.
Okay, it was almost like a sign, I guess.
It's a funny thing because, you know, it seems to be a global consciousness about John McCrae in a sense, and World War One specifically, because this is, you know, 2007 is the 90th anniversary of Vimy Ridge. Next year will be the 90th anniversary of the end of the war, but also it's the 90th anniversary of John McCrae's death, and also the 135th anniversary of his birth. So it's a funny thing. It seems like stars are lining up.
Okay, great. Would you like to give our audience a little bit of background on John McCrae and how he came to write this poem?
Yes, he was a Canadian surgeon, and he's from Guelph, Ontario, and he served in the Boer War back in 1899, and his father was in the military, and his brother as well, and military life was just part of his being. And after the Boer War, he studied to be a doctor, and he worked in Toronto. He also worked in Montreal, and when the Second World War broke out, he just felt compelled that he had to serve. And so he got positioned as the head surgeon general at Ypres in Belgium in the Second Battle of Ypres. And his friend, good friend, who used to be a former student, was stationed there as well, and his name was Alexis Helmer. And he happened to get killed by a German shell on May 3rd, the day before John McCrae wrote the poem. And unfortunately, there wasn't a chaplain available, so John McCrae actually presided over his friend's funeral in the cover of darkness, of course, because of security reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, he took a break from operating. He sat at the back of an ambulance, and he was looking out over the poppies blowing in amongst the grave site where his friend was buried.
Mm-hmm.
And story has it that the same thing, he was there for maybe 15, 20 minutes, composed this poem, and when he finished, he handed it to the young fellow that was delivering the mail at the time, and his name was Allison, and Allison was saying he was amazed that it was an exact description of what was before them.
Okay, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah,
and it's mm-hmm. it's quite moving. It's a moving, very moving story, and he was an amazing man, well respected, and he ended up dying, in the service, still during the war. He died in January of 1918, so about 6 or 8 months before the war ended.
Okay, and there is a museum in Guelph, Ontario,
Stone Cottage. Yes, they took his birth home and turned it into a museum back in the 60s, mid-60s, 65, 66. The people that owned it had moved, and there were some developers that were interested in the property. They were going to tear the house down. And a number of people in Guelph got together and raised enough money to try and buy the house. And one of them actually was Alan, the young fellow that was living in the mail that day. And they managed to save his house. And coincidentally enough, next year, 2008, will be the, I think, 40th anniversary of them actually saving the house and turning it into a museum.
Okay, that's wonderful.
It's a very interesting story all along.
Good. Tell us a little bit about his war medals. That's an interesting story, too, I was reading.
Yes, he had a number of medals from the Boer War and from the Second World War, and for some reason, we're not exactly sure why, but they disappeared for about 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then back in 1998, they just showed up at an auction. And I guess the Royal Canadian Legion and the Veteran Affairs got involved, and they were trying to raise enough money to get these medals back, and the Legion was thinking that they were going to have to pop into their poppy fund to try and raise the money. It was quite expensive. They sold for $400,000. And interestingly enough, it was a Toronto businessman, a new Canadian, an immigrant, and he had gone to the auction, never heard of the poem before, never heard of John McCrae, and he just, for some reason, felt compelled that these medals needed to stay in Canada. And as a new Canadian, he thought it was his responsibility to make sure that they did. And he actually outbid a number of private collectors, because if they had sold to private collectors, they may not even have stayed in Canada. And he thought they needed to be in Canada. So he paid $400,000, saved the medals, and actually donated to the museum in 1998. So that's only, next year will be 10 years.
And that's wonderful. And where has this, in Flanders Field, your music taken you? I know that you submitted a copy to the Queen.
Yes, I did, and she quite enjoyed the copy. She asked, wrote me back and asked to let her know if I end up performing at any state function. I am on the short list as a possible performer if the Government of Canada does decide to have a state funeral for the passing of the last World War vet. Now, I understand that John Babcock has decided that he just wants a private funeral. In that case, the Veteran Affairs are planning on having just a national memorial service for the passing of that entire generation. So I'm on the list as a possible performer for that, so hopefully that does turn out.
Okay, and have you gotten a lot of other feedback back yet about In Flanders Field that you wrote?
The feedback's been quite phenomenal, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I did what I set out to do. Once I had decided that I was going to write it, I wanted to make it accessible. I wanted to make it more like an anthem. That's why I kept it as a diatonic song, kept the melody very simple and very hummable. The feedback that I've been getting back, it's been phenomenal. Besides your radio stations, there's been a number of other radio stations across Canada that have picked it up. The television station down in the Maritimes, NTV, that they want to use it as part of their service. And the ball is starting to roll now. And I just got the video done, so hopefully, that'll give it some more exposure.
Oh, I hope so. That's really exciting. And I was reading that it might be in a kit sent to the UK, for students.
Yes, I had discovered that there was a lady in my area. I live out near Vancouver, and there was a lady in Abbotsford that's 107, turns 108 this May, And she served in the British Army, but she's lived in Canada all her life since the war. And because she served in the British Army, she's not eligible. I guess they don't consider her eligible for the state funeral. So I had sent an email out to the Ministry of Defense over in the UK and asked them if they were aware of this lady being here. And in the process, I found out that they were doing an educational resource kit, and they wanted to do that as part of their national memorial service for the passing of that entire generation. And so this fellow asked me to send him a CD, and he would put it in as one of the submissions to be included in that kit. And that kit will go to all the schools in the UK. So there's a good possibility it may end up there as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. So it certainly is going places. And did you expect this much of a feedback, or are you quite surprised?
You know what? I am quite surprised, and I'm quite happy, because I think, you know, I think it's time. I think it's necessary that people do remember this poem and do remember John McCrae. And it's, you know, I have a 3.5-year-old, and I was sitting at the dinner table last night, and he started singing, and he sang the entire first verse, word for word, and my jaw dropped. I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the melody is very memorable, if my 3.5-year-old can remember. So hopefully it serves its purpose. That's what I hope to do, is just bring awareness back to the poem and back to McCrae.
Okay, that's great. Now, I also read in 2006, 41% of Canadians plan to attend a formal Remembrance Day service, and that was actually down 9%, 9 percentage points from 2001. So has that been going down every year?
Yes, and you know, it is a reality that the number of veterans that are part of the Royal Canadian Legion, it gets less and less every year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fewer, you know, war is different. Back then, war was fought in the trenches by real men.
Mm-hmm.
Today, war is fought on paper and by computer and at a distance. And so we are getting fewer and fewer veterans, and even the Royal Canadian Legions are losing membership, and they're opening up now so that if you're a family member or a friend of someone that's a member, if there's any connection there, you can become a member.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a reality, you know, there's a reality that we're losing our veterans. Every year we have fewer and fewer, but there's people just, we live busy lives. As we get busier and busier, we just don't get involved.
Okay, so hopefully this song will help to bring people back, and you kept it also in the heritage of John McCrae by using bagpipes in the music and making it almost a march rhythm? Or?
Yes, that was, like I said, there's been a number of other people that have taken this poem to heart.
Mm-hmm.
and wanted to do a musical interpretation. I know there's a rock band over in Germany that's done a rock version. There's a country artist that's done a country song out of the poem, and of course there's lots of choral pieces out there. What I hoped to do differently was really capture John McCrae's Scottish heritage with the bagpipes, and stay really true to the rhythm of the poem, because the poem does have a rhythm when you recite it, and I wanted that to reflect in the melody. And certainly I want to showcase John McCrae's experience with war and serving as a military man. So I put a military drum beat underneath it, and hopefully I did a good job.
You did a fantastic job. We're certainly enjoying playing it here. And this is on a CD. Is just the single on the CD, or are there other songs?
I have the single on the CD with the vocal. I also have an instrumental on the
mm-hmm.
CD as well.
Okay. And are a certain amount of proceeds from the CD going to the Veterans Affairs?
No, what I had looked into is there's a fellow by the name of Steve Douglas. He's
mm-hmm.
a Canadian, and about 10 years ago, he got the idea that he wanted to photograph all the graves of every Canadian soldier that has died since 1900.
Okay.
And these graves are all around the world. There's about 116,000 altogether. And he started this project 10 years ago. It was too big for him to do it from Canada, so he moved to England, and then it got too big for him to do it from England, so he's actually moved over to Belgium, and he lives in Ypres right now. And he's, to date, they have, I think, out of the 116,000, they photographed all but 9.5 or 10,000. So they're getting very close to finishing. I think it's a great project, and what he's doing is he's making these photographs available online. For instance, if a family has a grandfather that died in the war but can never get over, or an uncle or a brother or whatever that died in the war, whether it's the First World War, the Second World War, Vietnam, it doesn't matter. Wherever Canadians have died, they have photographed those graves so that the families can actually go online and request to get a photo of that grave, and then they can actually see that grave in existence as a photo and download it, print it.
That's amazing, just truly amazing.
And what's really amazing about it is that it's all volunteer.
Okay.
It's all volunteer, and they've recruited over 700 volunteers worldwide that have gone out and taken photographs of these graves. So if you have a loved one that has died overseas and you can't go over and visit the gravesite and you want to be able to do this, you can actually contact, it's called the Maple Leaf Legacy Project. And you, if you just Google them, you'll be able to go visit their site and actually request a photograph of a gravesite or wherever it may be, in Canada or overseas, it doesn't matter. And if they have it photographed, they'll provide to you no charge.
That's amazing, truly amazing. Okay.
So mm-hmm. I'm taking it, if the song does well and makes any kind of money, I'm going to take a portion of the proceeds and donate to his cause, because I think it's a fantastic thing that he's doing.
Oh, it certainly is fantastic. Anything else that you would like to add, Anthony?
Just I want to thank you for taking the time to call me and interview me and for playing the song, and that's what's going to happen. The people out there will decide if this is something that they want to hear, and so hopefully, you know, other stations will pick up on it and people get a chance to hear it.
I hope so too. It's amazing. Before we go, if you could just tell us your website again.
FlandersFieldsMusic.com.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much, Anthony, and all the best to you.
I appreciate it, Maureen. Thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you.
That was Anthony Hutchcroft with In Flanders Field Remix.